can be seated. Thank you. Man, I love to worship God. I'm telling you, when we draw near to God and worship, the Bible says if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, by the way. Man, when we worship as a church, how powerful is that? Well, good morning, church. So glad to be with you this morning. Those in the room, want to thank you for being a part of service this morning. Man, no better place to be than gathering together as a church family and worshiping our God. I also want to say to those joining us online, man, we're so glad that you're with us today. And our men and women at our God Behind Bars campus, we want to welcome you. And we just want to tell you, we are so proud and we love our men and women at our God Behind Bars campuses. Church, can we give it up for our men and women there at our God Behind Bars campuses? Yeah. I want to take just a second to say thanks to our senior pastor, Pastor Zach Stevens, for allowing all the campus pastors at all of our different campuses to the opportunity to speak today. Man, I'm telling you, I am honored to serve and walk alongside our senior pastor, what an incredible man of God. You know, there's a scripture I speak over my life, over this church, and over my pastor. The path of the righteous is like the light of day. It gets brighter and brighter to the full of that light of day. And I believe that's what God is doing in and through our pastor and through this church. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? Not a golf clap, but amen. You know, I want to share some milestones since Easter. By the way, at Easter, it was incredible. We had like over 150 baptisms across all of our campuses. A lot of people gave their life to Christ. But since Easter, we've had 88 baptisms since then. Isn't that cool? Yeah. That's people's lives that have been transformed. 15 children from FP Kids in the last weekend, 15 kids in FP Kids got baptized across all of our campuses. 349 total for the year, and 20, that's about 20, right at average, to be about 20 per week. Guys, I'm telling you, in most places, I'd call that revival. I'm telling you, God's moving, and we need to remember that. We get so used to seeing people baptized, we need to remember there's life change happening. Amen? Another way God's moving here at Faith Promise is through an experience that we call Next Steps. And I recently had the opportunity to reach out and communicate with a young mom. Her name's Megan, and she serves on our student team. But she and her husband, Clayton, recently went through Next Steps. So I wanted to ask her, hey, how did Next Steps impact your world? And she shared with me that years ago, when she was growing up, that she served in some student ministries, but a lot has happened. Life has happened since then. She got married. She moved from Florida to Tennessee. She found the promised land. Amen. She moved from Florida to Tennessee. She had three children, and they're little. They're still young. And the last two, by the way, their names are Declan, Grayson, and River. The two twins are Declan and River. But the last two are twins. Crazy. And I actually met them when they first came, partly because they had twins. And Candace and I have twin boys, and two of our grandkids are twins. So I'm naturally just drawn like a magnet when I see twins. And anyway, I was talking to her a little bit about how Next Steps affected them. And she said, Mike, she said, we went to Next Steps and we loved it. It was great. And God grabbed my heart in Next Steps. She said, but life is quite full. How many of you can relate to that? Life is quite full. But she said her table host, Pam, just reassured her, hey, just give it a shot. Just give it a shot. Stepping on the winning team, just give it a shot. So she did. And Alex and her student team, man, they did an incredible job. They meet here every Wednesday night. They did an incredible job taking care of her, getting her going. She started serving in seventh grade, and then quickly they realized they needed her to move to eighth grade, so she did. And here's what Megan said about serving those eighth grade girls in her small group. She said, I'm so grateful for these eighth graders. They're teaching me just as much as I am teaching them. She said, I make it a priority to show up for them both inside the group and outside as well in their personal lives. Course concerts, other activities that they're involved in. She said, through laughter, grief, tough love, and so much more, I've been able to see God move in these students. And she said, and it is an honor. Isn't that cool? She found her purpose here at Faith Promise Church and here in the kingdom of God. And it's impacting her life just as much as those girls. And how many of you know those girls in her small group need to see a woman of God with children and see what it's supposed to be like? I want to invite you, if you've never been through Next Steps, if you've never stepped into your purpose in life or your purpose in serving in the kingdom of God, if you want to know more about Faith Promise Church, I want to invite you to join us tonight. We're going to be over in the chapel at 6 p.m. We've got dinner provided. I think it's Cinco de Mayo today, yeah? Cinco de Mayo? Listen to me, like I can speak Spanish. I've got a daughter that lives in Costa Rica. I should be able to speak Spanish, but I can't. Okay, but anyway, we're going to have, I think we're going to have some Cinco de Mayo food as well. But anyway, come join us 6 p.m. tonight. Love for you to be a part of that. We do have childcare available if you need it. Just tap that blue disc in the seat back in front of you to sign up, or you can go in the lobby. Our team will be glad to get you signed up for that. Hey, today we're starting a new series called Soundtracks. Everybody say soundtracks. One of the most underrated parts of movies and TV shows is the soundtrack. It sets the mood. You ever been in a scary movie and it's just building, it's building, it's building, and if somebody touched you, you go, ah, right? Even though nothing's happening on screen, it just gets you there, right? They help dictate our feelings and our emotions. See if you recognize, these may not get your emotions going, but see if you recognize any of these soundtracks. How many of you recognize that one? How many of you recognize, oh wow, all around the room. Okay, what is it? What is it? Andy Griffith Show. If you've never seen that, oh my mercy. It's next to The Chosen. You need to check it out. Okay, all right. Listen to this one. See if you recognize this one. Oh, come on. Come on. How many hands? Come on. How many of you recognize that one? All right. All around the room. What is it? Star Wars, of course. And by the way, before I chose that one, I asked someone that's in her 20s, all right, young married, in her 20s. I said, when you think of soundtrack, what do you think of? And that's what she said. It surprised me, but that's what she said. So that's why I chose that one. Last one. See if you recognize this one. Raise your hand if you recognize it. I like the next part. Don't. Okay, that's enough. What is it? Jaws. How many of you recognize Jaws? Hey, I got to be honest with you. That soundtrack plays in my mind every time I set my foot in the ocean. I'm not kidding. I am serious. I'm not lying when I say it. I'm not over-exaggerating. That soundtrack plays through my mind, and I start having this fear try to rise up within me, right? It's crazy. But how many of you know Satan would love to use soundtracks to play through our minds to affect how we feel and what we believe about ourselves? You see, I had to recognize that when I heard that soundtrack of da 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 da, I had to replace it with something else. I had to pause it, stop it. I can't turn it off because once you hear it, it's there, right? I can't totally turn it off. It's not like a light switch. But I can pause it and I can replace it with something else. And I've chosen 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what I replaced that soundtrack with. How we think, how we feel, and even what we believe can be dictated by soundtracks that roll through our minds. So as we examine these mental soundtracks, we'll spend the next month asking two questions. Number one, what soundtracks do we need to push pause on? Number two, what soundtracks from God do we need to play in their place? Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. God, we're so glad that we can gather and worship you today. You're holy, you're worthy, you're God Almighty. Lord, would you open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have for us? Say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Lord, we love you and we want to honor you. Help us grow. And Lord, if there's any soundtracks in our heart, in our minds that are causing us to be held back from your best, would you help us recognize those today? Hit pause on them and replace them with your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Isn't he good? He is good. Hey, our lives, let me get my notes up here, please. Thank you. Our lives are always moving in the direction of the soundtrack that's playing through our minds, right? The thoughts that are playing through our minds. You might think, come on, Mike. I'm sorry, let me say this. What we think shapes who we are. What we think shapes who we are, right? Those soundtracks, once again. You might think, come on, Mike, that's just an exaggeration. But I'm telling you, it's not an exaggeration. Our lives do follow the direction of what plays through our mind. It does. Solomon wrote, God called him the most wise man ever, right? Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Did you know that both the Bible and modern science provide evidence that this is true? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, the Apostle Paul wrote, let me flip open my Bible here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's the filter we're supposed to think through, that God's wanting us to all of our thoughts to flow through. Verse 9, "Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." In those three sentences, the Apostle Paul is helping us to think this way. Think how? I remembered about TNRP, y'all like, maybe crazy, TNRP, and then LAEP, L-A-E-P. That's the filter I try to think my soundtracks through. Is it true? TNRP, is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Pastor Chris used to teach it, P48, baby, P48. It's a good way to remember that scripture, Philippians 4:8. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? And is it praiseworthy? Does it bring your life forward in the things of God? So Paul's telling us to think this way. It's a filter. So we go from that thoughts, soundtracks, go from those top soundtracks to action. He said in verse 9, "Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen me, put it into practice." So do it, right? Do it. Just do it. The old Nike slogan. And then what will happen if we do that? The next thing is that will move us into the experience in verse 9. It said, "And the God of peace will be with you," right? The God of peace will be with you. Paul tells us that our thoughts, our soundtracks shape our lives. Yet, how many of us never give a second thought to the soundtrack that's continually playing in our minds? A discipline in modern psychology is gained momentum in recent years. It's been around for quite a while, but it's gained a lot of momentum in recent years. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy. And cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, has been demonstrated, it's proven, scientific research, it's been proven to be effective in a wide range of problems. And some of those problems are depression, anxiety disorders, alcohol and drug use problems, eating disorders, severe mental illness. And the premise is exactly what the Word of God teaches, which is that you need to recognize those soundtracks, those wrong thoughts that are going through your head. You need to hit pause on them, and then you need to replace them with good, productive thoughts, or the right soundtracks. They've shown that when they can get people to do this, that it affects their behaviors, it affects their attitudes, and lives have been changed for the good. Don't you love it when God meshes the things of the Word of God with what science is saying? That's exactly what God's been teaching from the very beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. If you're a mom or dad, you need to highlight this in your Bible. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 8. Moses is taking the people into the promised land. They're getting ready to enter the promised land, and Moses says, "Hey, listen up. This is what you need to do." In verse 6, he said, "These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts." Everybody say your hearts. Right, they're to be on your hearts. "Impress them on your children." Moms, dads, we need to be impressing the Word of God on our kids. Whose job is it to teach them? Is it the church or mom and dad's job? Or grandpa or aunt, uncle, all the above, right? All of us. Yes, the church wants to partner with you, but absolutely. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your house and on your gates." The bottom line is this: wherever you go, whatever you do, keep the Word of God in front of you constantly on your mind. The soundtrack of your mind. So once again, man, God is saying, even all the way back in Deuteronomy and the Torah, the Pentateuch, God is showing that we need to keep his word, the soundtrack playing from his word in our minds. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. How many of you know that a lot of the teachings of Jesus are exactly opposite to the teachings of this world? This is a church, not a mortuary. Come on. All right, thank you. They are. A lot of the teachings of Jesus are completely opposite of what the world would try to cram down your throat or put a soundtrack in your mind. There are things that I do not need to watch on TV. Oh, come on, Mike. Don't be ridiculous. Well, did it say do not be conformed to this world? There are movies I don't need to watch, especially if it feeds an area of my life that I'm already weak in and that I could easily stumble into my thought life. There's music I don't need to listen to. Woo! Y'all are like, oh man, this one was preaching where you got all the things you can't do. I'm not telling you, you can do all those things. They're all good things. But if you got soundtracks playing in your mind that are not lining up with God's word, I'm challenging you, what are you putting in your mind? What seeds are you planting in that garden? Amen? Maybe social media, maybe video games, I don't know. But if I'm not careful, I'll feed the soundtracks that Satan would love to use to hold Mike Baker back, Satan would love to use to hold you back. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That transformation is like metamorphosis. It's like an ugly, gooey worm crawling up into a cocoon and coming out a beautiful butterfly. You want to become like Jesus? You want to walk in God's will for your life? You want to know his good, his pleasing, his perfect will? Then come out from the world. Quit doing a lot of the things that are feeding negative soundtracks in your mind that are preventing you from becoming all that God has called you to be. Amen? Changing the soundtracks that are playing in your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, good, pleasing, and a perfect will. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I want to walk in God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. I do. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that Candace and I grabbed a hold of when we were first married. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it says this. It says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Did y'all hear that? We take captive how many thoughts? Every thought. When we were first married, man, we read P48, Philippians 4:8. We read Romans 12 about don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We read 2 Corinthians 10. See, we were brand new believers. We were newly married, and we were brand new believers, and we were serious about trying to get God's word in our heart that we could become more and more like Jesus. And as we read those three scriptures, God grabbed our heart. So we did a double dog dare challenge. We didn't call it that, but that's what it was. And we challenged each other. We're going to take every thought captive. If it doesn't line up with God's word, we are going to grab it and we're going to write it down. And we did it for about 2 days. I don't think we made it that long, actually. You know why? Because there were so many thoughts that rolled through our minds that we couldn't possibly write them down. We decided we can't do this. We gave up. The negative, stupid, just crazy thoughts that would run through our minds. And sometimes just ridiculous thoughts, right? Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to do 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take captive every thought that doesn't line up, every soundtrack that doesn't line up with God's word? Think about what you're thinking. That's a deep theological question. Are you thinking about what you're thinking? Right? Pay attention to the soundtracks that are rolling through your brain. You know, some of you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. You look in a mirror and you don't like what you see. And I'm not talking about your weight. I'm not talking about whether you have, you know, what the reflection is and as beautiful as you'd want it to be. I'm talking about just in your heart. By the way, speaking of looking in mirrors, last night we kept our grandkids and two of our grandkids. And little Avery told Mimi, have you always been like that? That's a loaded question. And she said, well, what do you mean, Avery? What do you mean I've always been like that? She said, has your skin always been so wrinkled and old? Oh my gosh, that was awesome. I love that. I cracked up. I loved it. I remember one time I was brushing my teeth when Whitney, my second daughter, was little. And I was brushing my teeth. I didn't have a shirt on. And which that's an ugly sight. Y'all, you're like, oh, I can't get that thought on my mind now. Anyway, but I didn't have a t-shirt. I didn't have a shirt on. Brushing my teeth. Whitney walks up. She pulls her pasty out of her mouth. She's a little bitty thing. And she looks up at me and she says, Daddy, why does your chest just jiggle when you brush your teeth? Yeah. Candace, I'm going to start working out, right? Anyway, man, some of you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. And I'm not talking about a physical mirror. I'm talking about the mirror in your heart and your mind, that soundtrack that is rolling through your mind. But some of you need to look in a different mirror, because the mirror that you're listening to, the soundtracks that are playing in your mind, are not of God. Can I get an amen to that? They're not of God. It's crazy. Man, when I'm tired, when I'm weary, when I'm beat down and I'm exhausted, those soundtracks just get triggered and they just play over and over and over. It's called, it's neuroplasticity. There's new research that proves it's that. It's like a scratch record or play in your brain. Some of you need to look at a different mirror. It's called the mirror of God's word. Psalm 139 says this, verse 13, about you. Listen, this is you. Listen, listen. God's speaking to you as individuals, as an individual right now. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at the person you came with and say, hey, you're fearful, I'm wonderful. Huh? God says about you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When that soundtrack starts rolling through your mind, telling you otherwise, you remember, God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Some of us worry about the future. And God says, hey, don't worry about the future. All your days, I wrote them here. I know what's going to happen. I've got you. Those soundtracks, that mirror. You see, you're precious in God's sight. He loves you. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. But as Candace and I tried to hit pause, we tried to live out 2 Corinthians 10 to grab, hold, stop every thought that didn't line up with God's word. We realized that even though we were born again believers, we were new creations in Christ Jesus, that our thinking was, our soundtracks had a lot of stinking thinking going on in them. You see, just because I got born again, my breath still stunk. I still had bad hair days. I always had bad hair days, right? I was made new in my spirit. I was in right standing with God. There's nothing that can separate me from God according to what the Bible says. But I still had some stinking thinking that needed to be dealt with, some soundtracks. You know what? We went a little excessive, probably, maybe. We threw every record that we had, every cassette tape, we went to the dumpster and we threw them in it. Because we had hundreds of dollars of music that were playing soundtracks that were not what we needed to be listening to at that moment in our life. We need to change the soundtracks in our heads. If it didn't glorify God, we tossed it. Around the same time, my dad invited Candace and I to go to the beach with he and his wife, and my brother and his wife went as well. We were all at the beach together. My brother Tim hadn't been married that long. Candace and I just recently married. We were going through this 2 Corinthians 10 challenge, right, of taking thoughts captive. Sitting on the beach, and this beautiful girl comes walking down the beach. It's just my brother Tim and I. And he says, hey, Todd. That's what my brother used to call me. Todd, check that out. And I remembered what God's word said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. And my brother even went further to say, hey, it's okay to check it out, to look at it. Just don't touch the merchandise. But Jesus went on in verse 28 to say, but I tell you, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, I realized there were soundtracks that had been playing through my mind for years and years and years. That's the way I grew up. That's all I knew. So yes, I had to take extreme measures to change the soundtrack in my mind and replace it with God's word. I started paying attention to what the Bible said. Job 31 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. I memorized that scripture. The one that I speak today, even this week I've spoken it. It's from Proverbs chapter 5. I will drink the water from my own well. And I will be satisfied with the wife of my youth. I dare to say that if Candace and I hadn't dealt with the soundtracks that were playing through our minds, we probably never would have made it as long as we have. And we're going to finish. Amen? Because I will be satisfied with the wife of my youth. I will not look upon another woman's beauty. Not going to do it. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And I want to finish up, move toward closing with this. Paul wrote that when he was in prison. Did you hear what I said? P48, Paul wrote that when he was in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, he wrote that when he was in prison. Paul had been beaten. He'd been shipwrecked multiple times. He'd been stoned and left for dead. And now he finds himself in a Roman prison. He knows that his end is near. And what comes out of his mouth is rejoice in the Lord always. What comes out of his mouth is P48, telling us what to think. Church, I want you to know something. The reason Paul could write that was because he was changed. He had an encounter with Jesus. It changed his world. I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm not proud of who I was. I'm not proud of who I am today even. Sometimes I mess up. Anybody can relate to that? But I've had an encounter with Jesus. It changed the whole trajectory of my life. I believe there's some people in the room right now. You know that Jesus is real. You know of Jesus, but you don't know him personally. The demons in hell shudder in fear. They know of Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? If you don't know Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to bow your knee now. I'm asking you right now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Would you pray with us in this prayer? Say, dear Lord, God, I thank you that you love me. Would you forgive me my past? Would you make me new? I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I want to walk with you for the rest of my life. God, I thank you that you're touching lives right now in this room. I thank you that you're drawing people to the place of salvation. If you just prayed that prayer and asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up real high. Our team has something they're going to bring you. Raise it up high. Raise it high. Thank you. Thank you. They're going to bring you a communication card. They're going to bring you a booklet called 7-Day Start. God, we thank you for what you're doing, and we celebrate that. God, you're so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give him praise. He's good. Hey, if you prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, take that communication card you're given. Drop it off at the guest services tables in the lobby, or you can fill out an online communication card. There's a book that we gave you, 7-Day Start. It'll help you on your walk and your journey with God. I want to close with this. Got a text on Monday from a dear friend of mine. He had a bad report. He was stuck in a tough situation that won't go away. He's been going through it for several years now. This guy that I'm talking about is a strong man of God. He knows the word of God. He loves God. Yet this soundtrack is playing through his mind that was straight from the pit of hell. Do you know the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. This is what he wrote to me in his text message. couldn't believe it when I read it. He's a man of God. He loves God. He's going to heaven. He's full of faith. But in this moment, the soundtrack was playing through his mind. He said, I think I'm off the reservation. It's like I'm waste material. I'm just forgotten. I'm just surviving. I texted him something to encourage him from the Word of God. And then when I had a free moment, I called him. When I called him, he was weeping. He was so broken. The soundtrack's playing through his mind. So I, on the phone, man, I just spent a little time and I just prayed for him. And I spoke the Word of God over him. I want to speak that word over you right now. What I spoke over him on Monday, I told him, first of all, that God loves him. How many of you know God sent his best when he sent Jesus down the cross? He gave his best for you. He loves you. Don't ever doubt that. He loves you. And God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. My wife used to, when we had five kids and twins that were the last two, my wife used to look at me and say, I think God's got me confused with someone else on that scripture. He'll never let you go through what you can bear. But God's favor lasts a lifetime. Psalm 30 says, God's favor lasts a lifetime, that weeping may come for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. God says, I'll never leave you. You hear me, church? God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're a king's kid. He called you by name. You're his son. You're his daughter. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I told my friend, and I'm telling you right now, you're seen by God. He loves you. He is El Roy, the God who sees. That in this season of suffering, that God is working in your life. How many of you are going through some suffering? How many of you are going through some tough times? God is working in your life. Romans 8:28 says, God causes all, everybody say all. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Last scripture, and it's on joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I started this service with that scripture. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of you need to hear that today. Amen. Some of you need to respond to what's been spoken today. You need to pause on the soundtracks in your mind and replace them with the Word of God. Look in the mirror of who God says you are and walk in it. And you won't do it if you don't put the Word of God in your heart and renew your mind. Would you stand up on your feet right now? We're going to worship. It's going to be a time you can respond. Maybe you need to come and light a candle. Say, God, light the fire of the Word of God in my heart. Maybe you need to go across and just sit at the cross or write something on that cross. We have communion up front, or maybe you need to make an altar right here and just sit at the feet of our Lord. Our worship team's going to worship. Let's give him praise.